The last time I was here, Brother Ben, I mean, you were right. None of this looked like this in the back. And it looks amazing. Praise the Lord. And you got a new sound system. And what a blessing that is. I'm a little jealous of the sound system, I got to be honest. Our church has a nice one, but man, I mean, when he said, you got to check this out, and pulls the cover off, I was like, oh, we're going to have to see about getting that out of here before I leave tonight. But anyway, it is a blessing to be here with you, and Brother Ben, wonderful friendship that we've had through the years, and I wish we could see each other more, but if it's every couple of years, I'll take it, all right? I mean, if that's all we can do, but it's been great, and I love your family, and of course, I've known your wife way before I knew you, and growing up together, and all those music competitions where we fought it out, and got mad at each other, and all that's under the blood now, right? So, anyway, it is a pleasure to be here tonight. Turn to the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus. And if I had one other thing to say tonight, I would just say that I need some of that deer meat, brother. How many did you say you hit in 3? I hope we make it home tonight without hitting a deer. We got to drive all the way on through there. We'll drive slow. I'll let my wife drive, then she can't blame me for it. All right, so the book of Exodus, I'll hear about that one later, sorry. The book of Exodus, chapter number, we're going to begin in chapter 12. Now, I'm not the type of person that thinks that, you know, God speaks to us in dreams and visions and all this stuff, but when I was contemplating on what to preach, and I've known about this for a while, and I just kept asking the Lord, what do you want to have me preach? What do you want to have me preach? I want to make sure it was the right thing. I had this thought come to me like in the middle of the night. Like, I know it sounds maybe weird, strange. I'm not a weirdo, I promise. But it just came to me, and I really believe it's what the Lord has for us tonight. And the thought was this. In light of everything that goes on in our world today, in light of the recent election that took place and all that's going on, I just had this question, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? And my mind was immediately drawn to the Old Testament and the children of Israel in the book of Exodus. And I want to start off by just giving you a little bit of illustration in the fact that when I was a kid, we'd go on vacation every year. My dad would get, you know, vacation, and we would take a couple of weeks or so, and we would just leave, go somewhere. Pretty much until I was 18, we spent several weeks out of the summer in Colorado. Anyone here ever been to Colorado before? You've been in the mountains before? You ever been lost in the mountains before? We have. Several times. I can remember my dad saying, let's just take this road and see where it goes. That was always a great adventure because we'd find out where it went, but then we couldn't find out where we came from. So we should have left breadcrumbs or something. I don't know. But I remember one particular instance. It was right around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And again, we're up in the mountains, and he says, let's see where this road goes. And my mom is with us this time, and she says, honey, don't do this. He's like, I want to see where this road goes. It looks interesting. Great. And he said, I've got a map, and he had a map of the mountains and kind of where you should be, where you should be. And about 5 o'clock, he said, well, we should have come to this mountain by now called Bald Head Mountain, and I don't see it. I don't know where we're at on the map. Now, the sun's starting to go down. It's getting a little scary, you know? And I can remember my mom saying this very thing. Well, where do we go from here? And he said, I don't know. That was not a good answer when you're 12 years old, okay? Dad's supposed to know where we are, okay? He's supposed to be able to, he's dad. I mean, he knows everything. I mean, he knows how to get us out of here. I mean, he could forge a trail. We'll make it home. And I'll still remember where he said, well, let's just take this road. And this is a big, wide road. It's got to lead out somewhere. And I'm thinking, we found a good road. I mean, it wasn't a four-wheel drive road. This was a wide road. After about 15 minutes, the road just stopped. Just stopped. Just a dead end. And He goes, I think we're in trouble. We did not know where we were. So we turn around. As we start to come back out, this guy comes out of the forest, out of nowhere, with a chainsaw. Now, immediately, as a child, I'm thinking we're going to die right here. No, this was a logger, and he told us how to get home. Thank the Lord. And we got home about the time it was getting really dark. I was scared. Another time we were in Colorado, but this time we were in Denver, and we got lost in downtown Denver. And you know, guys, we're just stubborn. We don't like to ask for directions. We're the man, right? And whether we hit a deer or not, doesn't matter. We're going to do this ourselves, right? And so we kept taking these different roads, and this was at night. This was probably 9 o'clock at night. And I thought it was pretty cool because the first road we took, we showed up at the Capitol. I was like, hey, that's pretty cool. I don't care if we're lost or not. This is the Capitol. I like history. I'm like, this is neat. As a kid, you know, I was probably, again, probably 10 or something like that. I'm like, cool, Capitol building. He's like, okay, well, I can hear him talking to my mom, trying to figure something out on a map. And pretty soon, I'm like, hey, there's the Capitol again. That's cool. That happened 5 times. 5 times. I'm like, okay, I'm done with the Capitol, okay? Let's just get me out of downtown Denver. I do not want to see the Capitol building. We just kept driving around the little circle, you know, drive with all the flowers, and out we'd go, and pretty soon we'd come back and drive around it again. It didn't matter what road we took. We ended up back at the Capitol. It's like all roads lead to the Capitol, all right? So, but, you know, and my mom, I would hear her ask the question, honey, where do we go from here? Like, and this thought just the other night was ringing through my mind. I was thinking about all these stories, and then my mind went to the book of Exodus. In chapter number 12, we're going to look at verse number 31. Verse number 31. And it says, and he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get ye forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as ye have said. Now, of course, this is Pharaoh here talking to Moses, and we all know the story, that, you know, of course, there was the 10 plagues, and they were, of course, horrible things that happened when God was trying to get through to Pharaoh to let his people go from slavery. And the last one, of course, was the breaking point, wasn't it? It was the death of the firstborn, and his own son died. And that kind of was the breaking point there. And so here he tells Moses and Aaron, get up and get out. I'm done. I've had enough. Go. Gives them what they've been waiting for this entire time. And then if you get into chapter number 13, we look at the verses here, and starting in verse number 17, and we'll read those in a minute, but I just want to say one thing real quick before we go there. When they were told to go, of course they were happy, weren't they? They were excited. They were jubilant at the thought of being free because they'd been in slavery for centuries. Some say close to 400, 430 years of slavery, of Egyptian bondage. And they were told to go, but I wonder if anybody asked the question, where do we go from here? I mean, we're free now. Where do we go? How would they know where to go? Who? I mean, Moses is going to lead them, and they know that they're going to the promised land. They've heard of this land that they're supposed to go to. But I wonder if any of them asked the question, where do we go from here? Like, I imagine they did. If you read throughout the Old Testament, many times you'll find that they murmured, complained, grumbled. Why have you brought us here? In chapter 3, verse number 17, that's back where we find Moses being told by God to be the leader and to go and help free his people from slavery. And he promises him a land of milk and honey. And he is told there what there would be. But when they leave Egypt, I guarantee you there were people saying, what do we do now? Where are we going? Exodus chapter 14 and verse 11 and 12. We're going to jump ahead here a little bit, and then we're going to come back. But verse 11 and 12 says, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is it not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. I mean, they don't think they're going to go anywhere at this point. The Egyptian army's chasing them. You know the story. They're backed up against the sea. And they're now all of a sudden, this God that's delivered them, they've forgotten about him. And they're like, you've brought us here to die. They're doubting. They're doubting the God that has freed them. In Exodus chapter 16 and verse number 2, just turn there quickly, just a few pages over. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Again, we find them complaining. We find them murmuring, grumbling over and over in the Old Testament. We read of the children of Israel murmuring, complaining, whining, griping, moaning, groaning. Where are we going now? Where have you brought us? Why have you done this to us? Why have you not given us this? Why is God doing this to us? Why is God doing that to us? Don't be so quick to judge them. A lot of times we're real quick to say, well, hold on. I mean, it's easy for us to look back and say, God freed you from slavery. He helped you. Now you're complaining. Have a little bit of faith, right? And it's easy for us to look and say that, but we're just like that. We're just like that. We don't understand why God's allowed this to happen to us. Or we don't understand why God's allowed that to happen to us. We don't understand why God's brought us here. Or where God's going to take us now. Or why is he doing this with my life? Or why is he doing that with my life? There's so much uncertainty in the world that we live in. Where is our country headed? What's the next president going to do for our country? This country is divided. There's so much division. I mean, over 57 million people voted for the one who didn't win. Half the country voted for one and half voted for the other. I mean, it's what is God doing? We live in scary times. I mean, there's murders and there's bombings and there's killings. And what do we do? What, God, what's going on? Just stop for a second. Just stop. Before we go any farther, I want to remind you of a few things tonight. We're going to go back to our text here in a minute, but I want to say this first. God is still in control. I want to say that again. God is still in control. Turn to Psalm 115, verse number 3. Psalm 115. In verse number 3, it says, but our God in the heavens, he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And he still does. Whatever God wants to happen is going to happen. And whatever he doesn't want to happen isn't going to happen. No matter what we do about it. God is still in control. He's in control of our country. He's in control of this world. And he wants to be in control of you if you'll let him. And he wants to be in control of this church if you'll let him. God is still in control. Psalms 22, verse number 8. Psalm 22, verse number 8. Says this. He trusteth on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he hath delighted in him. We just got to trust in the Lord. He wants to help us. He wants to deliver us. He wants to be in control of our lives. He wants to be in control of this church. And he is in control of this country and of our world. And we need to understand that before we go any farther tonight. Okay? Now if we go back to the book of Exodus in our text, I want you to look at chapter 3 and verse number 7. Chapter 3 and verse number 7. And again here, this is back where God is calling Moses. I know we're kind of all over the place, but this will make sense. Just stay with me. Chapter 3 and verse number 7. It says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. Now stop. This tells me here, God is mindful of us. He is mindful of us. Look there in the verse. It says, he has seen their affliction, number one. He sees what you're going through. It's not like he's blind to it. He sees what this world is going through. He sees what you're going through in your own personal life. He knows what you're going through at work. He knows what this church is going through. He knows what problems it may have or may not have. He is mindful of us. We need to remember that. God was mindful of his people here, and he's telling Moses, he says, I've seen them. I'm mindful of them. I see their affliction, and he sees our affliction today. The second thing he says in that verse is he says, I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. He hears us. He hears your cries. Tonight we had prayer. He heard that. He hears your prayers. Don't think that he doesn't. Just because he doesn't give you the answer that you want doesn't mean he didn't hear you. God hears your cries. He heard their cries. And there was years before he answered and sent Moses. He'd been hearing their cries for a long time. He hears your cry. Not only that, but look at the end of that verse. It says, for I know their sorrows. He knows your sorrow. He knows what you're going through. He feels it. I want you to understand tonight, God is mindful of you. God is mindful of this country. He's mindful of our world that we live in. He's mindful of this church, and he's mindful of you in your personal life. And he will hear you. Number two, God still wants to lead us. God still wants to lead us. Exodus chapter 13, let's jump back ahead there. Exodus chapter 13, we're going to look at verse 17 there for a second. It came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God, what's the word? Led them. Not through the way of the land of the Philistine, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. Verse 18, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Skip down to verse number 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to, what's the word? Lead them. To lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God wants to lead you. He wants to lead you. So the obvious answer would be, just let him lead. Where do we go from here? God, lead me. Let him lead. Let him lead. And to have someone lead you, you're going to have to be a good follower. We've got to be a good follower. It's kind of hard to follow somebody if you're jumping ahead of them, isn't it? And so many times we try and jump ahead of God. We try and figure things out on our own instead of letting God lead us. So we need to be good followers. And I love this part, Exodus chapter 14, in verse number 14. Just the next chapter, it says, the Lord will fight for you and he shall hold your peace. Listen, God wants to fight for us. He wants to fight for us. And too many times we try and do it on our own. We try and fight our own battles and do it our way when God just says, let me do the fighting for you. You know, the person that's in the front is going to take most of the opposition. Right? The people, the soldiers on the front lines, they're the ones that are going to take the most fire. And yes, I want to be on the front lines with my Lord, but I want him to be ahead of me because he'll fight for me. And then it's a lot easier on me, right? We need to let him fight for us. Turn to the book of Joshua, just real quick. The book of Joshua, chapter 1. If I could get there. Joshua chapter number 1. I paid my marker was wrong. I apologize. Joshua does come before Judges, right? Okay, there we go. Joshua chapter 1, we're going to look at verse number 9. It says this. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. And in our world today and the things that we face today, we might say, where do we go from here? What's going to happen from here? Where's America going? Where? God wants to fight for us, if we'll let him. And he's with us, all right? So you can find comfort in that. And lastly, God knows what lies ahead. God knows what lies ahead. We can ask our initial question here again. Where do we go from here? We may not know, but I know somebody who does know, because he knows what lies ahead. We don't know what lies ahead. I like the illustration where there's a little boy and his dad, and they're standing waiting for the parade to come down the street. And there's a fence in front of them. And the dad can see over the fence because he's taller. But the little boy is maybe 3-4 years old. He's old enough to understand what a parade is, and he's old enough to be able to hear the sounds and hear the bands coming, but he can't see over the fence. But there's a little hole in the fence. So he's got his face pressed up to the fence, and he's looking through that hole with all of his might. And his dad would tell him, son, here comes the high school band. Okay, dad, okay. And he could hear them coming. He's looking through the hole, and here they came. And he sees the trumpets go by, and the trombones go by, and the clarinets go by, and the flutes go by, and here comes the drums. You know, they're always the last ones to bring up the end. And I don't know why. I guess they don't like drummers. They always put them in the back. But anyway, here he comes. And so he goes by, and then he says, oh, son, there's this really neat float coming. It's your favorite. It's Garfield. He's like, oh, sweet. So here comes this big Garfield float coming by, and he's looking through the hole. Sure enough, there it comes, and there it goes. And the whole point of the illustration is that we're like the little boy, because we can only see what's right in front of us, can't we? But our Father sees everything. He sees what's coming. He sees what's right here, and he sees what's coming ahead. He sees where everything's going. And God is like that. He, as our Heavenly Father, sees what lies ahead of us. So we ask ourselves the question, what's gonna happen now? Where do we go from here? God knows what lies ahead. The children of Israel didn't know what was coming. They knew they were free. They knew they had a long way to go. But I guarantee you, they didn't realize they were going to be pushed up against the sea, and that Pharaoh's army was going to be coming after them, and that they thought they were going to die. They didn't know that was going to happen. God knew it was going to happen. He knew Pharaoh's heart would change and that he'd chase after him. He knew that was coming. And he also knew that he'd be able to spread the sea and let him go across on dry ground. That's a miracle. Go down here to Big Lake and just blow on it and see if you can part the waters and it'd be dry. Yeah, not going to happen. You're just impressed I knew Big Lake. See, I pay attention when I drive in, all right? Listen, God knew. He knew that they were going to wander in the wilderness because of their sin. He knew that a lot of them were going to make it to the promised land. He already knew it was coming. But he knew he had the promised land waiting for them. You see, they didn't know where all God was going to lead them. So, number one, they had to remember that he was in control. And many times they forgot that. And they started trying to do their thing and complain and murmur and grumble. They completely forgot he was in control. They had to remember that he was mindful of them, that he was thinking about them, that they were special to him, that he had thought of them all this time and sent someone to lead them out of bondage and captivity. He cared enough about them to do that. They had to remember that he wanted to lead them and that they were going to have to follow. And they had to remember that he knew what was coming. They were given a promise, and that was a land flowing with milk and honey. They were given a promise that that land was waiting for them and that he was going to take them there. And they had to be able to be willing to follow him wherever he was going to lead them to get there. And you and I are also given a promise. Turn to Isaiah chapter number 25. Isaiah chapter 25. Verse number 8. And he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall be taken away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. Hey, listen, God already has the victory. That's our promise. He's already won. And he's going to wipe away the tears. And he's going to take care of all the fear. He's going to get rid of all those things that would cause us harm. He has already won the victory. Revelation all the way to the end of your Bible, Revelation chapter number 15. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but Revelation chapter 15 and verse number 2 says this, "And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God." Listen, God has won already. And so when we wonder, where do we go from here? What's going to happen from here? What's going to happen with our country? What's going to happen from, you know, with our lives? What's God doing with me right now? Why is God taking me through this trial? Or why do I have this trouble in my life? Why am I struggling with this? What is God trying to do? Listen, we ask the question, where do we go from here? God knows what lies ahead. He knows what lies ahead. If we know Christ as our Savior, we're promised heaven. That's a great promise, amen? Promised heaven. We have nothing to fear. Our real question should not be, where do we go from here? The real question should be, Lord, where would you like me to go from here? Lord, where are you going to take me from here? You're in control, so I'm going to follow you. There's a man by the name of Ira Forrest Stanfill. Has anybody ever heard of him before? Ira Forrest Stanfill. He was born on February 14th, 1914. That was a long time ago. He died on December 30th, 1993. He died in Overland Park, Kansas, not too far from where I was born. Stanfill, he was an Assembly of God pastor, singer, and gospel songwriter. And he wrote a lot of songs that you'll recognize. I'm going to read some of them off. He wrote Crown of Thorns, Follow Me, Happiness is the Lord, He Came to Me. He wrote Mansion Over the Hilltop. Now you know who he is. You didn't know him before, but now you know his name. It's in the book. You just have to read it. But one of the favorite songs of mine that he wrote is this, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. And I couldn't help but think as I was preparing this message of that song. So I'm just going to read a few words from it just to remind you tonight. I don't know if it's in your hymn book there or not. I'm sure it probably is. But it says, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Second verse says, every step's getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden, it's getting lighter. Every cloud is silver lined, and their sun is always shining, and there no tear will dim the eye, but at the ending of the rainbow where the mountains touch the sky. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty. And it could. It very well could. We don't know. But the one who feeds the sparrow, he's the one who stands by me. I don't know about you, but I want him standing by me too. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood. But his presence goes before me and I'm covered with his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. What a message and song that he wrote. Something that we can learn from, something that we can hold to. Where do we go from here? Well, I don't know, but I know someone who does know where to go from here. I know someone who's in control of where things are going to go from here. And I just tonight wanted this message to be an encouragement because I think that there's a lot of fear and doubt in a lot of people's minds of where things are going to go in our country from here and what's going to happen with my life from here. And I don't know, but God does. And he's in control. And with him by our side, we have nothing to fear. So let's ask him, Lord, where do you want us to go from here? Where do you want us to go from here as a country? Where do you want us to go from here as a Christian people? You know, it was said in this vote that more evangelicals turned out in this vote than ever in the history of voting. Now, I don't know if that's true. That's just a statistic that was given. But a lot of Christians got out and voted. That tells me that a lot of Christians, and that's a broad term, I understand that, care about what's going to happen in our country. And I don't know what's going to happen. But I know whatever it is, it's not going to happen without God letting it happen or allowing it to happen. And I don't know what's going to happen in my own life. I know I'm going to keep serving the Lord the best I can, and you do the same. But whatever we go through, just understand, God is in control. We need to let Him lead. He's mindful of us. He cares. He cares. And He knows what is ahead. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much for this simple thought. We thank You for the truths that we can learn from Your Word. And I pray tonight that You would encourage us through this to understand that there might be a lot of uncertainty out there, but there's no uncertainty with You. You know what's coming. We can trust in You for that. We can have faith and confidence in You. Help us to follow You. Lord, help us to let You lead. Help us to let You fight for us. Help us to remember that You're mindful of us. You care about us. And just help us to do our very best to serve You in every way that we possibly can, to continue to be good witnesses here in Falls City and through the missions programs and our churches all around the world. And I just ask that You would encourage Your people tonight. When we ask the question, where do we go from here? Well, just follow You. In Your name I pray. Amen.